Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey Adam, I was at work the other day and I was watching a young girl walking down the street. She had black and blue tattoos all over her legs, a men's haircut, she had that piercing that looks like your nose is constantly dripping, and a t-shirt that said, "The future is female." It just dawned on me, we may be the first generation of men ever that find women our own age more physically attractive than women from the younger generation. What do you think?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's an interesting thought. I want to thank Dollar Shave Club for this half of the show, dollarshaveclub.com/Adam and Geico, geico.com. Yeah, I was at the supermarket today, and I was looking at a mom. I don't know why it's weird when they have their toddlers with them, and she had a lot of tats all the way up and down at the calf area, like the leg area, and then kind of sleeved up top. And I'm not sure all that you're conveying, but, and I know there's a handful of dudes who are into that.
Yeah, you're going for a specific demo at that point.
But I don't know that it's ever helped. I've always sort of said that about the nose ring or the acrylic nails. I don't know that it's ever
helped. I think it signals to certain people that I'm into a type of lifestyle. A type. It might be your type, might not be yours, but...
Well, yeah, definitely the stud in the tongue signals to the fella at the end of the bar, your mouth is open for business. And signals to your stepdad that he did a horrible job. So
added value.
Signals to your stepdad your mouth's not open for business anymore.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
He molested
her. How dare you? I got... But I do feel if women... So women aren't wired pragmatically, as men are, which is...
That was not an edit.
Men sit around and they go, how can I get laid? And then they try to figure out what women dig, like puppies. Women like puppies. I'm going to get a puppy. I'm going to take this puppy to the dog park, and this fucking dog's going to be a chick magnet. I'm going to let him off the leash. He's going to run over to that chick's dog. They're going to start sniffing, and I'm going to walk over, and we're going to strike up a conversation. Men do that with the cars they drive. Yep. You know what I mean? I'm going to get myself a big 4x or give myself a sports car, whatever it is. I'm going to get myself something. Now, women do stuff for them, or at least that they claim is for them. Meaning, whenever you talk to a woman about lingerie, she'll always go, "I buy it for me."
Oh, yeah, or other women, like, you know, the nails specifically. I don't know a guy that, like, pays attention to that, but, like, you're showing other women that, like, you take care of yourself and look at my nails.
Yeah.
I'm loving this conversation.
I got a
front row seat. Go ahead.
Stay out.
Yep.
We're talking.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Men have a pretty one-to-one thing, which is I will definitely get some tattoos if I think it'll get me laid.
Right.
And I think it'll scare other dudes because we have ours are kind of a two-parter. Like, I will go to the gym and exclusively do arm curls. If I think it'll get that dude to back off and that chick to come my direction,
right,
I will go do that. The second you sort of remove that element, which is, well, guys don't like it or they're not intimidated by it and women aren't attracted to it, then it's basically we don't do it anymore. But women don't roll that way. They have a for me, for my community, in a weird way.
How
maybe
dare we?
Maybe it's a healthier waste.
Smarten up.
That might be a healthier, more sincere waste of time and money. But they will, because I don't know any guys that are into tattoos or...
Into tattoos on chicks.
Well, here's how you would have to do it. Yes, here's how you would do it. Let's put this out there. There are some guys who may like tattoos and may like some piercings and may like some of those chicks you see walk around with like purple hair every once in a while, like a young chick, her hair's like a crazy color. Do you know a guy? Like, let's say, Max Pata.
Hey.
You're all about rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
Dawson. Do you know a guy who's into the tats and into the piercings and... into the scene, the attitude, the whatever. And let's just say Yes, we do know. I do know guys who are into that. Would any of those guys forego a 9 with no tats and no piercings and no just a good looking 9, like a good fucking solid 23-year-old 9 of a chick?
A Gina Grad on a bad day.
Thank you, Brian.
That's right. Yes, Gina Grad. Down 2 points at a 9.
Yeah. On the third day of the cruise, or 7 a.m., room service.
Would anybody go? How many days you get room service?
just one.
I got two.
Oh, I know. Oh, they screwed up one. I ordered it twice.
All right. Good. I got it once. Good. Not once for me. All right. Not good enough. All right. Now, who do you know in that department who would forego a 9 for a 7? With a lot of tats and piercings, and they were into tats and piercings. No. I don't know. I feel like every dude just goes for the 9, right?
Yep.
All right, so then how much are we into it? You know what I mean? Because, like, if you're really into it...
you'd have to be real committed to that type.
You should be into the, I'm sorry, 9, go pound sand. I got a 7 over here who's sleeved up and has a aggressive hoop on her hood.
I checked.
How'd you get that on your car?
I was laying around thinking about hood piercings the other day. I remember that used to be something. It's like, ugh. Mm. Yes.
You know what, though? This is interesting, and I actually don't know if this is point shitting or not, if this is adding. We'll find out. I think it's not the same for women. If you have a guy like a Tom Brady, who, again, I'm not really my cup of tea, a dude, you know, just a clean cut, let's call him a 9, and then you have just like a smoldering bad boy 7 with the tats and stuff. I think a lot of girls would rather have that
absolutely
than the traditional clean cut 9.
Not a point shitter at all.
Okay, good.
The point is we are super pragmatic about it, and girls can be fooled into dudes popping an attitude.
That's right.
Well, also, these dumb dudes understand, too, that I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to pout. I'm going to get the tats. I'm going to have all
I'm
the
gonna brood.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have all
get
the trappings, and it'll work because good luck, meaning like that we respond to an aesthetic. If that aesthetic is not there, it's not like, well, you got the Ferrari 488 over here, and then you got the Subaru wagon over here, but the Subaru wagon pouts a lot.
More character.
So I'd rather be with that car. Right. Like, it's not that. It's simply an aesthetic in terms of what we're attracted to. Now, look, later on, we're talking about marrying or having kids or something. That's another story. But if we're just
factoring airbags.
Yes. Who?
There's also cars. There's also cars.
Gina out of this. Yeah. But after that, other things factoring. But just for this. So. I was at the supermarket and I saw the chick with all the tats on the calf and then all the sleeves. And then she was also wearing the shorts and the tank top. So it's like, now you got to kind of go let everyone know all the time. But then also you're with your kid at a Sprouts in the middle of the day. Like, how much fucking advertising do you need to do? Like, I feel that way about the guys who are like, I'm into off-roading. And so I got my off-roading. I got my shirt, you know, and I just wear it to weddings and funerals and bar mitzvahs. Like, all right, you're into off-roading. Like, I get it. I like off-roading. But how much do we need to know about you all the time, every day?
Yeah.
Which is now part of the New World Order as well, which everyone needs to know what you're into.
What you're about.
All the fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I was laughing about Mike August, and it just made me think about, because he stole a wheelbarrow from the marina. Find my email.
What?
I have a picture. Hold on.
Mike. So me, Mike, and Alan, who's our German-Canadian videographer, who I've known from going on many trips to the UK with and doing car stuff. He's the guy who's doing all the great photography. You know,
he's amazing.
Nice fella.
Nice guy, amazing photographer. We just tell the Uber to drop us off. Can we fix this glitch in Uber? Like, there was a time me and Mike got picked up at LAX and Mike typed in destination, my house. And then I went, oh no, my car's back at the shop. We got to go to the shop. And then the guy's like, yeah, I can't change that. Like,
oh, really?
We can't. We got to reboot whole thing.
Right, right. You got to put in a new order.
And then, like, at some point, we pulled over at LAX, at the end of the LAX run. And I said, all right, well, then reboot it and start the new one. He's like, well, you can start a new one, but I don't know if I'm picking you up. And I'm like, we're in your car.
Yep.
And he's like, no, we got to restart it again. And then I'm going around again. And then maybe I get you and maybe I don't. And I was like, they don't let you just once it's in. I guess it's to stop tampering or whatever. But
well, because they quote you a price, right? So you can't say I'm going 2 miles. They quote you $10. Like, oh, just kidding. I went 20 miles. But you quoted me the which is dumb because if you're changing it, you're obviously okay with the change.
We got picked up at LAX. Mm-hmm. We got in the Uber zone, which is toward the end of the horseshoe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We got into the Uber car, and as we were driving out, I flipped the script. I said, I'm going home, Mike. And he's like, I thought you were going back to the shop. And I said, no, my car's not there. It's at home. And he said to the Uber guy, like, okay, well, now let's take him. Let's new destination. And the guy, like, pulled over a mile from where we got picked up by the side of the road and just went, now you got to get out.
Jesus.
And when we went to...
That's a flaw in the system.
Yeah, I get it. It's there to safeguard from something, but we should be able to work it out is what I'm saying. We told the Uber guy, take us from the hotel outside by the Seattle airport and just take us to the marina, like wherever the boat is. We don't know where the boat is. It's somewhere. We can see it. And then he dropped us off at the restaurant with their no eggs policy on Fridays and whatever all the rules they have around breakfast. And then we all, me and Alan and Mike got all our shit together and started schlepping. Mike, powerful move in the transportation, the pushable transportation department. On the way out of Seattle, got the push car that he liked so much. He loves commandeering stuff. He grabs stuff. Like if you're at a Home Depot and you walk away from your shopping cart and Mike August is nearby, it's his, bitch. And he commandeers it. We walked through security with the wheelie cart. Walked through the security with the wheelie cart, which I've never done before. I was like, you have to abandon it
how
at
they
security.
Allow that?
Walk through it. Wow. Well, they said you can bring it around and you walk through it and reunite it with it. Then walk the wheelie cart to the Centurion Club or whatever the black card. Yeah, yeah. American Express. Wheeled it over there, parked it out front. They put a sign on it.
Like, damn.
Well done.
In use. So it went back in, had a cocktail, and came back out and used the wheelie card again. I'm surprised you didn't try to get it on the plane.
Talk about things that you're too good for. Who among us would try that?
I would never try that. And guess who's wildly uncomfortable when Mike does? So, Mike, we're walking through the marina and we're looking at the boat. But the boat is like 2 miles. Like, the boat is the size of 5 aircraft carriers. Yeah. You can see it from outer space. But we're just at the marina. And I'm like, you can see it, but you can also see the trestle bridge. You got to go over the highway and whatever.
It's like being in Vegas. I can see my hotel.
And we're all carrying all our luggage. And we don't have any wheels. And I think Alan, because he's Alan, has wheels, but we don't. So as we're walking, the marina has those miniature docks that go down to the boats or whatever. And they have these plastic, like, gardening carts, like these wheelbarrows that you'd use, like, in a garden or something, like, for moving potted plants around or something. So Mike just throws everything into one and goes, we got this. And he starts pushing it.
That's a producer. Produce.
Mike's got it.
Wow. It's huge.
Mike's got a huge cart, right? So now Mike's pushing the cart, and I'm like, we're going to get into trouble because this isn't our cart. And, of course, there's a big sign that says, return carts to the marina. So we'll bring it, but someone will bring it back.
Someone.
You know? And there's
someone other than us.
Marina.
That's awesome.
And, of course, because it could go no other way, some guy stops with his car with the thing I'm jealous of, more than the Yakima mountain bike racks, the big torpedo the roof of the car. Like, what are you doing? The big case. What are you doing?
Yeah. You got a big
parasail thing in there, or a kite, or sleeping bags, or purse. What are you doing up there with that thing? Why so much adventure in your life? You got mountain climbing gear in there. You're going to climb a frozen waterfall. Like, what do you need? Also, it's always on a minivan or something, too, which is you're literally, it's never on a Miata. Mm-hmm. It's on something that's pretty big. Like, you already got a lot of cargo space back there.
You need a little more, I guess.
I don't know what's up there, but
you can't advertise when it's in the car.
That dude pulled up. his wife is driving. His wife lets him out of the car. He takes his two little shitty dogs and he's walking around the circle where there's some grass at the end of the marina. Mike has turned it up and is now heading toward the highway with this cart. And I hear the guy yell, "You can't take that car." Mike yells, "Yes, we can." Waves him off. I don't know who this guy was.
Kindly Canadian?
He seemed to know. No, he was in Seattle.
Oh, okay. I thought this was
We're getting on the ship. Sorry.
I thought it was the day off the boat.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't have your luggage.
Look at you, McMillan and wife. Yes, we're getting on the boat. And he is there. He brought his dogs to run around on this patch of grass. Somehow his wife was in charge of the minivan while he got out. I don't think he had a boat in the marina or anything. I just think this is his space.
Yeah.
And he sees a couple of strangers pushing the cart, and we're heading for the bridge, and we're heading out of the marina, essentially. We're heading away from the marina, and he of course shows up as we're leaving. Like, if we were in the marina, he would have thought we're pushing stuff around. So he yelled at Mike. Mike yelled it was fine.
Mike didn't give a shit.
We're good.
Thank God most people who have decorum don't have a lot of follow-up questions. Yeah. Like, they don't speed over and jump out of the van or anything. Mike would fight him on the street.
What is your business with this cart, sir?
Right, but Mike just yelled, "We're good," none of your business, or whatever it was. We just pushed the cart. Of course, I was insanely uncomfortable.
Well, that's the price you pay for all this great service and convenience. You have to cringe the whole time.
Yes, but I did. Look, I don't want to be a hypocrite. As soon as Mike commandeered the cart, I was the first guy to chuck my bag into his cart. We then pushed the cart as far as we could push the cart till we hit a set of stairs on top of the bridge. And Mike just abandoned the cart on the bridge.
Overboard.
And then he announced somebody would bring it back.
Sure. Hey, you mentioned Alan, who's an amazing photographer. And I this is my first time meeting him. He offered for us to go up, you know, to the top of the boat and take a couple pictures. Can I show you the picture that is going to be on my wall probably for the rest of my life? I feel like an oil baroness in this picture.
I've seen it. And it is amazing.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
He is. Look, I will tell you this about Alan. I've said this about all photographers a million times. Anyone who's ever done a TV show or done a whatever, you have to go do a photo shoot, and the fucking thing lasts 8 hours. And if you're wired like me, it's like, now let's change the outfit. Right. Now let's change the next outfit. Now let's change the outfit. Alan, when we're at Goodwood, took a sort of superhero shot of me in my racing whatever. And we're at Goodwood, and I was like down at the car, whatever. And Alan said, "Can we just go to the top of the hill and grab a picture?" And I was like, "I don't want. I'm here to race the car. I don't want to be dealing with it. There's a huge crowds everywhere and stuff." And he said, "It just take a second." I said, "Fine, you got 5 seconds." When we ran up the hill about 100 feet, I stood there, like held my helmet next to me. He took 3 shots. I ran back down the hill, and I was like, "All right, that was a waste of time." And I got back there, and then later on, it's like, "Oh, it's the greatest picture ever."
Epic.
Well, I'm glad I did that.
He's awesome.
Yes, he's good, and he's super fast. That's the thing. That's the deal. I mean, that's the thing about everything. Like, anybody eventually could win a game of pool. It's how many shots does it take to get all the balls in. Anyone can win at darts. It's how many shots, the target. How many target? That's what makes you a marksman, not unlimited amount of shots and hit the target. It's how many find
the mark. What's your margin of error?
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's German and Canadian. He's got two good...
efficient and polite.
He's Canadian that lives in Germany. Yes. He's like full Canadian.
Yeah, but he speaks German, and he's just one of those dudes dudes you want to hang with. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance. Up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car three times.
Three times, fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is the best. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today with Castrol. Castrol Edge. Dr. Dean L. Sicking is to take a knee, and he's the inventor of the safety wall and the safety barrier, and he's a safety researcher. He invented all those, like, think about the freeway splits where it's like the big pilaster, big cement pilaster. He's the guy who decided, hey, take trash cans and fill them with water, sand, and put it there, and then people won't die mashing into this giant oak tree made of concrete.
Amazing.
It's pretty...
Like, why didn't we think of that sooner?
Yes, it's one of those things. All right. Let's take a quickie break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina Grad right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let me hit Dollar Shave Club real fast here. No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has you covered. And it's got the look, the feel, the smell, and it's all the best. Amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrush, toothpaste. I have all this stuff now. Of course, the razors and shave supplies. Let's just not ever go wait in line again or be out. Let's not be out of cheap items. Take care of yourself. I just went through and popped on a new cartridge today. It's a couple bucks a month, and you'll never be out of cartridges ever again. And that's if you make more than $9,000 a year and you're a dude, then just go ahead and start looking at things you can take care of.
Automate.
To not be a hassle. And this is one of them. And all of super high quality stuff, all the Dollar Shave Club stuff. And right now, you can get ready for an amazing deal on one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essential starter set, but you can't go wrong with any of them. It's Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
Head over to DollarShaveClub.com/Adam to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at regular price, and make sure you check out their new video, too. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. DollarShaveClub.com/Adam.
All right, well, the Emmys were Sunday night, and we'll hit a little bit of that and talk about some of the highlights. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was the big winner. This was the 70th annual Primetime Emmys, by the way. The Amazon show took home 5 awards, including Best Series, Best Comedy Series.
Best show no one's seen?
Okay, I get it, and this happens every... I mean, it was the same thing with Mad Men. It was the best show no one had seen. Breaking Bad was the same thing. This show is delightful. Oh. There is nothing... There's no... It's so charming. It's so well-written. It's so much fun. Tony Shalhoub... is it Rachel Brosnahan? Oh, look at it. Mrs. Maisel. It's so great. Alex Borenstein won for her role in it. It's awesome. I can't recommend it higher. Anyway, FX is The Assassination of Gianni Versace. The American Crime Story walked away with 3 honors. HBO's Game of Thrones took Best Drama Series. HBO's last...
I've known Alex Borenstein since she joined, I think, the Acme Theater as like a junior Acme person when I was like senior Acme person. She used to be a real bitch, and I remember once I had a party in my apartment, and all I remember is I was standing in my kitchen, and she was being super bitchy to me in my kitchen, in my apartment, and I remember saying to her, like, I have these weird recollections in life. Like, I remember one time I was working in a woman's house or a couple's house, and the woman was sort of home, and I was putting on, like, base shoe or molding or something, and she started talking about how stuff wasn't right or whatever. About the base shoe or the molding, she started crying and like going, it's all wrong, it's all wrong. And all I kept saying was, I kept going, I don't know you. Like, I don't know you. What do you, can't do this. Right. We don't have a relationship. What are you doing this to me for? And I remember saying to Alex Borenstein, you're being a bitch to me and I'm in my own kitchen. Like, I'm in my kitchen. Like, I'm standing in my kitchen. I'm having a party. Like, I'm making more guacamole, and you're being a super bitch to me, and I'm in my kitchen. Like, we got to go to the park.
We got a neutral ground.
It's unfair that you're being a bitch while I'm in my kitchen. I have had this happen a few times, like at parties and stuff, where I've been, like, in my bar or whatever, and the person was like, go get me another whatever. Like, it's weird.
What did she say? Oh, Adam, I'm so sorry.
Yes, Lois. Yeah. It was funny. But we have always remained friends since then and sort of had fun. And she actually married a friend of mine from Acme many, many years ago. I think they've since been divorced. But
yeah, divorced in 2014. Jack Douglas.
Yeah. Except for his name is Doug Jackson, which always screwed me up.
What?
You married Doug Jackson? You mean Jackson Douglas? I was like, no, I mean Doug Jackson. And he's like, I married Jackson Douglas.
I never understood.
Well, it used to be Doug Jackson. I knew him as Doug Jackson.
Why would he? Okay.
I get that they're stage names and whatever. It's like the wrestler with Daniel Bryan. His name is Bryan Daniels. Yeah. He was like Daniel Bryan. Oh, now he's a star.
I think Doug Jackson.
You used to hate it. Boys don't cry.
I knew him as Doug Jackson, and then it that turned. Went Jackson.
Jackson Douglas. Yeah.
Wow.
Good stage name.
Look at Daniel Bryan. The pressure is Bryan Daniels.
Anyway, I think they got divorced, but either way.
Oh, well.
I like them both, so good for her.
Wow, yeah. So a couple of highlights. The opening monologue, it was hosted by Colin Jost and Michael Che from Saturday Night Live.
Now, this show, now here's the problem, as far as I can tell, because I'm close-minded.
Okay.
It strikes me that on the aforementioned win, even though it's a good show, they're all good shows. It strikes me that we get this thing going in Hollywood. A few years ago, we got the Black Lives Matter thing going, and then a lot of these black actors would win or black shows would win, and it feels like, okay, that's the way the wind is blowing. Like, go, we're in the grip of this. Now we're grip of Me Too, and it feels like there's a lot of women winning a lot of stuff. And I wonder how much of that, like, we're a little off the Black Lives and a little more on to Me Too now. I feel like a few years ago or 18 months ago, we're a little more on the Black Lives. Sure. There was a lot of black actors and whatever winning. Now, every show's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm is good. This is good. Right. That's good. It's everything's good. In a world where everything's good, then the nod will go to whichever way the wind is blowing.
Yeah, I guess so. And I totally, that happens and we talk about it all the time. And there's kind of no denying it. But
all
I
right,
just got to tell
on.
You. Okay, bye.
yeah, I know. This is a great
show. But the premise
is
she's a young, Jewish upper middle class housewife in New York. And her husband at the time is trying to be a comedian and he's terrible. And, you know, one thing leads to another and they're separated and whatever. And she kind of comes into her own as this incredible, you know, charming hostess and comedian. And she's just I thought about you because, you know, when we talk about like jokes that aren't really funny in movies, but everybody laughs, songs that kind of suck, but they become number one in a movie. And the way it's written, and she's so good, you buy into the whole
thing.
Well,
let me yes and make myself right at
great.
The end. I go, oh, I've never heard of this show. And then I go, oh, I get it. Female lead, female comedy, female comedian. They're not going to give it to the old Jew, Larry David. I love that show. I get it. It's a Me Too win. See, and this is why I don't like it. It's black guy walking around on campus at Yale. Like, I go, oh, affirmative action, when I should be going, oh, that guy's the smartest guy in his class.
Deserves to be.
I don't want to go there. I have to.
Compelled
forced to go there.
You're the real victim.
Thank you.
Well, to your point, though, this way the wind's blowing. Wasn't that what a lot of people were saying when Jeffrey Tambor won for Transparent? Yeah, Transparent. Like, it was a bit of an out of nowhere. From what I understand, from what I read.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how you ever control that, but I wish it felt like less of a factor. I feel like when I'd watch the Academy Awards when I was a kid, it was just people would win or not win. It didn't feel like there was outside sources and wind blowing certain directions and stuff like that. Yes.
Well, I'll give you a couple of highlights. We'll do a few from the opening monologue. Apparently, you could drink in your seat this year at the Emmys, and they made mention of that right at the top of the monologue.
This year, the audience is allowed to drink in their seats. Mm-hmm. Hope you're excited about that. Yeah, because the one thing Hollywood needs right now is people losing their inhibitions at a work function.
That's true.
The show's bald.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He laughed about it. Now, this one, I couldn't help but think of our own Joe Coy and our own Chris Maxpata, and of course, you, Adam. They were talking about the lack of diversity on shows in the past. One particular kind that we've talked about multiple times on this show.
Things are getting better, but as we all know, TV has always had a diversity problem. You know, I mean, can you believe they did 15 seasons of ER without one Filipino nurse?
That's crazy. It's good. This is crazy.
Have you been to a hospital?
Oh. That's crazy.
My favorite part is the audience was afraid to laugh at that very funny joke.
Yeah.
There was uncomfortable laughter, but
great joke.
They do a minute chunk on Roseanne and everything involving Roseanne. Do we care about that? It's a minute long.
I'll listen to it.
Here we go.
They're professional.
There were several dramatic rescues for TV shows this summer.
Oh, this is
Brooklyn
not it.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled by Fox, but picked up by NBC.
This is not it.
When's Roseanne coming back? Is it back? Did it come back?
The Conners, you mean?
Sorry, the Connors.
Well, fall, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Roseanne's not coming back. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, well, that, I won't turn to you for an answer. That's unknowable. But the Connors.
Yeah, sorry, guys. This is just the next one on the list.
Israel. Wow.
Yeah, we're scrolling through it.
Okay.
All right. The Connors is coming back when, Max Bada? Now, everyone will watch the first week, so it'll be no
fun. Absolutely.
I mean, not no fun, but we won't be able to gauge anything, because everyone's going to know how she died or what happened.
They're
gonna,
exactly.
There'll be a huge curiosity factor. Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, you know, Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman can't hold their own. I mean, I think this you don't need Roseanne to make that show successful. Really, Brian?
Would it be insane? I mean, what if they got a divorce because when they were driving down the highway, some black chick cut them off, and Roseanne went on a racially laced tirade, and John said, "I can't be around this person."
Oh. Wow.
What if we did a weird, brought it home?
Like, you know? Like a Chuck Lorre, Charlie Sheen, they killed him off in a really demeaning way.
Yeah, instead of like whatever's going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
Totally possible. Oh, here's the chunk here.
There were several dramatic rescues for TV shows this summer. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled by Fox, but picked up by NBC.
Okay, sorry.
See why you shouldn't be able to talk?
Last Man Standing was canceled by ABC and then picked up by Fox.
That's right.
Which is great.
That's right. And Roseanne was canceled by herself, but picked up by white nationalists.
Oh. She's had a rough year.
Yeah, no, that's tough.
You know, I heard Roseanne is actually moving to Israel.
Wow.
I mean, damn. How messed up is your life when you have to go to the Middle East just to get peace of mind? By the way, congratulations to Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah.
Yes, please. I mean, wow. That's incredible. You know how great an actress you have to be to get nominated for Roseanne now? That's like nominating a cop for a BET award. It doesn't happen. It'd be weird.
Chrissy Teigen. Sure. Sorry, there's so many jokes that start with diversity and reboots. I got them confused. That was my fault. I'm sorry. And the last one, this is pretty much the last joke in the monologue and seemed to go over well.
There's even more diversity coming to TV. There's a Latino Magnum PI. There's going to be a Black Samantha in a reboot of Bewitched. Mm. But it's going to get balanced out. It's going to get balanced out by an all-white reboot of Atlanta called 15 Miles Outside of Atlanta.
Pretty good.
Yeah, there's more.
That's good.
And it focuses on white women who call the police on the cast of Atlanta.
There you go.
Pretty funny. But that really, you know, all the awards, that's all great. It was a pretty basic Emmys. But there's something that everyone is talking about. Glenn Weiss, a name that you wouldn't know generally, trending all over the place right now. He won for directing a variety special for his work on the Oscars.
Oh, I think I know him.
Yeah, long hair and glasses.
I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Well, his office is, these guys have windowless offices in the bowels of these theaters. Like when you do the Oscars, this guy's office isn't up on
glamorous.
The 11th floor in the corner or anything. He has just a miniature. It's not his office. It's his office when he's doing the Oscars.
Right.
And it is 7 foot deep and 7 foot wide, and it does not possess windows because you're three stories down. And it's just off. There's endless hallways with endless little rooms.
Little cubicles.
Yeah. And I was just walking past his office. I had no idea who he was, and he was just sitting in there. And I said, I just sort of caught his eye, and he was like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "How?" He said, like, "Hey, Adam." And I said, "Hey, man." It's just a long-haired guy sitting at his desk in this miniature office. You got to understand, no office, it's sort of like not seeing what car the guy pulled up in. Like you have no idea where I don't know if he's a grip. I don't know if he's a gaffer.
Yeah,
back in the day,
we had the corner office with a big fireplace and the globe bar.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm just sitting down, and we're just like chatting. At a certain point, I just said to him, "What do you do?" And he said, "I direct this." And I was like, "Oh, shouldn't you be like up front somewhere or whatever?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm going soon." And then his daughters all came in, and he introduced me to all his daughters. And then at some point, Matt Damon walked by.
So random.
And I was like sitting on the sofa. It's like a miniature sofa. And he's sitting at his desk and all his daughters came in. And then Matt Damon came in and he said, what's the guy's name?
Glenn Weiss.
He's like, hey, Glenn. So Matt Damon like walks in. And he goes, hey, Glenn. Oh, hey, Sharon. Hey, Sheila. Hey, Tammy. And then he leaves. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm the only person. This is a miniature room. It's a room the size of a mop closet. He just said hi to everybody in this room.
And their extended family.
And then he left. And so I started thinking, is he pissed off or something? Like, what do I got with Matt Damon? But then when I ran into him at Jimmy's wife's birthday party a few months ago, he started dancing with me feverishly. So I thought.
Making up for lost
sexual
time.
Sexual tension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess he didn't see me. I'm sitting playing on the edge of the sofa or whatever. It was weird. It was a hit and run where funny. He pops in a miniature office, says hi to everyone in the office but me, and then walks out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very random Glenn Weiss story you have.
I was sitting in a weird...
Glenn Weiss.
I was sitting in a position where he was like standing in the doorway. It's possible he didn't see
get the eyeline.
It's possible. Well, anyways, he's a nice guy.
And the reason why everyone's buzzing about him, because he took the opportunity to thank everybody and talk about his mom who just passed away and, you know, gave a typical speech. But then this happened.
He won for best directing, the Oscars. Okay.
And then this happened when he was up there.
Jan, you are the sunshine in my life.
Girlfriend.
And mom was right. Don't ever let go of your sunshine. You wonder why I don't like to call you my girlfriend? Because I want to call you my wife.
Nice guy.
She was shocked.
She was shocked.
Way better than a Jumbotron at a sports meet.
Yeah.
And so she...
Now remember, if you get divorced...
You gotta
do it on the Emmys.
You gotta do it by law. Under my regime, you must do it on... Mm. And no, I'm not saying you have to get divorced.
But
and
if,
I'm not saying it's the next Emmys. I'm saying whenever you get divorced...
That's, right. Yeah. That's how it shall
the
go.
The closest Emmys
right.
to that date...
Makes perfect sense.
...to when the papers are served, you have to go back up and you have to give a divorce. I would never stop watching TV shows or baseball games if everything that was made... Or going on cruises with Corolla. if any... Or the more theater.
This is a very sad VIP event coming up on Corolla Cruise 28.
If I could turn on any award show with just the outside chance that someone was going to have to somberly walk out on stage.
Papers.
We could even make an in memoriam kind of thing where like a cavalcade of people would have to go out there and do
that's
it.
Good.
But
you get down on one knee on stage?
Well, so he goes, I haven't asked yet. And she comes on up and says, you know, of course, he does get down on one knee.
Wow.
He has his mother that just passed away. He has her ring.
He does
the whole thing. And it was just lovely.
Guy. But he must have two or three daughters.
Like he's in his 50s at least.
Sharon, Tammy, and Charlotte.
Yeah, he's got teenage daughters because 2 years ago I was hanging out in his office with his teenage daughter. So... He must, we're evidently pretty tight with Matt Damon. Not me, but his daughters. You got to have daughters from a previous marriage because he's sitting there introducing me to his daughter. So
this very much seems like the second marriage.
I'll go that way. Let me hit something for a second time over here. Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction, results in lost performance, up to 10%. Let's get some of this Castrol Edge. It is fluid titanium. And it is good for what ails your engine. It is 100% synthetic. Synthetic is so much better than the old dinosaur stuff or the blend stuff. Let's get the good stuff. Your car deserves it. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. How many daughters does he have? Two?
Not seeing any daughters. I mean, at least not his bio. His presence on the internet, as far as biographies go, very limited.
Well, maybe it was her daughters. You know, if they've been together for that long.
Could be. It was definitely like a 15-year-old girl and a 18-year-old girl, and they're all just sitting in his office, and we're having this conversation about, like, it's great being a teenage girl. It actually sometimes carries over into adulthood where it's like, oh, great, I got to go to the Oscars. My dumb dad's got a stupid director, stupid Oscars. Such a boring, we have to get there 2 hours early. And they were so over it. I love it. I love that kids have the capacity to get over anything immediately.
He does have two daughters, and Svensson, the girl he proposed to, has three daughters.
Oh, so. That's where I was swimming in estrogen in that room. I'll tell you what, man.
A lot of daughters.
His daughters are like, this 2 years ago. I got to be like 16 and 19 or something like that.
By the way, Adam, you did the cash route. I have to ask, is the whole crowd at the Moore Theater yelling three times fool when you do it? Is that as close to a rock star response that you can
that
get?
Is, that was hilarious.
That's my, get her done. It's my drop. That's Brian's drop. But yeah, that was funny.
And when Brian was unable to perform, 1,000 people stepped in.
Well, don't put it that way.
Three times, fool. Mm.
That's my equipment.
Not your
lost.
Fault. Not your
equipment
fault.
Equipment lost.
All right.
That happens to a lot of guys.
360 dysfunction. So something else happened Emmy related. People also talking about this.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah.
Has Tom to do Arnold? With Tom Arnold and Mark Burnett at a pre-Emmys party got a lot of attention from the LAPD this weekend. They're investigating a little skirmish that happened between the two of them.
Tom Arnold, remember I sort of do that thing where that jag about your parents and your parents' friends, and once they're in their 50s, right. they're just locked off. There's no more tattoos and no more wrestling and no more fisticuffs and just crazy behavior. Mm. Tom Arnold is getting crazier as he's getting older, but go ahead.
So TMZ,
Tom Arnold is the devil.
So TMZ reports that investigators have put together a list of celebrity witnesses and plans to interview each of them. So here's who's on the list that saw this little dust up. Kevin Bacon, Patton Oswalt, Billy Eichner, Allison Hannigan, Jeff Probst, who reportedly broke up the fight. Burnett and Arnold have been feuding for several months. Arnold has been trying to track down behind-the-scenes recordings of Donald Trump from The Apprentice, which is the subject of his new show on Viceland called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. So, This might have been good content for this show.
He sort of claims Mark Burnett, I think, was a Army Ranger or something in England or whatever it is. I mean, he was in the forces or whatever. So
not a real Army Ranger.
Not a real Army Ranger, but
Rescue Ranger.
He was a special forces guy.
He's a badass.
I think in England or whatever their version of or whatever is. So he's probably one of these guys you shouldn't put your hands on. But
Tom Arnold, fearless.
Age 17, entered the British Army, section commander for the parachute regime.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Regiment, sorry.
Regiment.
Third Battalion Parachute Regiment.
All right. Tom Arnold just did Dr. Drew's show today.
No, no, he was on Dr. He's at Dr. Drew's birthday. You guys just saw him.
Oh, B-Day. Oh, sorry. Screwed that up. Yeah. Like, Tom Arnold's one of these guys. Look, I do this with a lot. I hope they take it in the spirit which is intended. I like Tom Arnold. He's nuts, and I like Tom Arnold. I don't know.
Could be both.
I say that about David Alan Greer and many people. Like, I like them, and they're nuts.
Arnold is the devil.
People go like, why would you say that? And it's like, well, both things are true. That's why I would say it. I feel like Tom Arnold would tell you he was nuts.
Yeah, he'd sign off on that.
Cop to it.
But he has evidently, there's a tape of Trump dropping an N-bomb.
Nega, I assume.
Oh, yes. Brian, come on.
On the other hand, I don't know. See, to me, I know it's gotcha in this new world order we're living in. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone who hasn't used the N-word. I do not know an individual who can say that word has not left my mouth. I don't know. Now, I do know many individuals who have used that word and never done a negative thing to a black person. That is a group I know. I do not know a group, oh, maybe my son, but the day is young. Yeah. I got to hurry home. I don't know anybody, any contemporary or any peer or anybody I've ever known who's not dropped an N-bomb. I do not know that person. So if you happen to be next to them with a recording device, then you could record that person, and then we could decide that person was a bad person. But I wouldn't necessarily think that person was a bad person, basing it on every human being I've ever hung out with, I should say male. Although women, when they're rapping along.
I was going to say, I saw Kanye West at the Staples Center. There's about 18,000 people there. If you have footage of them, they can't run for president.
Well, speaking of that, I don't really know a lot about him, so this is just something someone told me. Eminem has never put that word in a song. Is that correct? Like that, he's not about that at all.
Now,
he's about a lot of other things.
The amount of people I've heard using that word when a black person was in the room toward the black person, now the number goes down to single digits. And that's probably just been fights or bar fights or something like that. I'm just assuming I've heard that. That I don't know.
Quoting Mel Brooks movies.
Right. And then the amount of Blazing Saddles and the amount of people I've who's actually said to me, we must do something bad to a black person or hold them down in some way, that's zero. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Grab so anyway, okay. I don't know what other big problems we have that work out that way, but I'm on the pragmatic bandwagon. I don't care if you find a tape of someone dropping an N-bomb. That doesn't mean they're a bad person. It doesn't make them. They may be racist, but that doesn't make them racist. The same way that if I heard Obama drop an N-bomb, I would never think that way, or any white person or any black person. I would need to know a context. I would need to know what they were doing, who they were talking to, who they wanted to hear it, and so on and so forth.
It just reminded me of the correspondence dinner. I believe it was hosted by Larry Wilmore, who, mm-hmm. when he introduced President Obama, sitting President Obama, and dropped an N-bomb in reference to sitting President Obama. That was jarring to a lot of people. And Obama rolled. He rolled with it. You know,
it would be all context. Yes.
Elon Musk, a lot going on with him. You know, a lot of wonderful things, a lot of innovative things. Also, a war of words with that British cave diver. It's headed to court. Now, I'll refresh your memory. On. So here's the deal. The dude was Vernon Unsworth. He was among those who helped rescue the dozen Thai teens that were trapped in a cave back in July. He filed suit against Elon for libel. So after Unsworth said Musk's submarine that he sent over to Thailand was nothing more than a publicity stunt, Musk made it personal. He called Unsworth a child rapist and a pedophile, among other things, apparently. Musk probably made things worse by tweeting, quote, "You don't think it's a little strange that he hasn't sued me?" So Unsworth is suing. He's seeking $75,000 in compensation and an injunction against the Tesla
head. He might get it.
Yeah, to punish him for his wrongdoing and deter him from repeating such heinous conduct. It's a little it seems very out of character about Elon Musk.
Why would he call him a pedophile?
He was pissed. He was
like
pissed
he's
about
getting those kids, like more kids for me.
I think from what I understand, you know, he sent the submarine that this guy said it was a publicity stunt. It wasted time. It wasted resources. We had to stop everything we were doing to deal with Elon, who came to the cave, was apparently asked to leave at one point because he was just in the way and not helping. It seemed like an ego thing. It seemed like Elon Musk did not like, you know, being treated that way or being talked about that way, that this was a stunt, that his stuff never would have worked. And so at one point he was like, and by the way, why is this British guy living in Thailand? We know what that's, you know, what Thailand's famous for. And and then he said, sorry, I mean, dude, you brought this on yourself.
I mean, no.
You might not be familiar.
Why is he? Yeah. Yeah, no, I...
So it just, the ball kept rolling. You know how you get all sort of keyboard couragey, and he said, dude, you brought this on yourself, and he just won't let it go.
Do we have any pictures of the sub and would the sub work?
I saw a video of it. It was really small, slender, and they put a guy in it and they kind of pushed it across like an Olympic pool. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, we did it. And I remember this guy being like, what do you mean? There are so many twists and turns in this cave. There's no way we could have used this product.
Yeah, that's Elon what it didn't looked like to me. Well, I hope those kids settle it. Yeah. Real quick, let me tell you about Geico. Got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You don't need that sub-insured, but you need your automobile insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. It's the most rewarding to-do you can do today would be Geico. At Geico.com, that is Geico.com. All right, one more.
All right, well, one more sort of interesting up-tempo Elon story. A Japanese billionaire named Yusaku Maezawa will be shot into space on board SpaceX's BFR rocket. So Elon announced at a press conference Monday that the wealthy art collector purchased all of the seats on the passenger rocket, which will fly around the moon. Maezawa told reporters that this is his lifelong dream. There might not be many people willing to take this risky 5-day flight, but Maezawa says he'd like to fill the seats with other like-minded people. He wants artists. He's offering the invitation to musicians.
He's going to
offer them to musicians and film directors and fashion designers. Wow. I think the guy just wants to
hang out with
cool
people.
Yeah, exactly. Be stuck in a tube for five days.
How much is a seat? Did we figure that one out?
I don't know. I actually know somebody who, for their birthday, their wife got them on the waiting list, and that was like.
Really?
Yeah. I'll, I'll, I, I believe the waiting list deposit was 70 grand. I can double check. He could call in. But I don't have the ticket price.
I could see me. I'd spend like 100 grand. And then at some point, the stewardess would come by and I'd be like, oh, I'll take the braised short ribs. We only have Salisbury steak. I'm sorry. We're out of the, yeah, the Japanese artist and his friends ate all the good stuff. And we have a poached salmon.
We have dehydrated astronaut cheese.
Yeah.
A goat cheese omelet.
Yeah. 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 So how many seats? We'll figure out.
I think it was a total of. Sorry, I thought I had that in front of me.
Does 70K sound reasonable for this?
Well, that was to get on the waiting list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, per
that
seat.
Sounds way too cheap for per seat.
Yeah.
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 Sorry, I don't know how many, Chris, maybe you have.
I'd be surprised if it was under 100K. Very surprised.
For the ride itself?
Yeah.
Well, I'm only basing it on, I don't know how many seats are on the rocket. I mean, I don't think it's 50.
It's probably 8.
Eight or ten. The thing about is, if you're building a rocket and launching a rocket, and you go, well, don't worry, we have 8 seats, we'll charge 100 grand a seat. 800 grand does not get you where you need to be
in terms
of the expense of those rockets. I mean, you're going to go through 800 grand in fuel getting out there or more, I'm sure. So it's got to be more like $1 million or something. It's got to be something insane
something
because it can't be. This is millions and millions of dollars. I'm just the facility, the launch facility.
I think
whatever.
It's a money loser no matter what. I think you're basing on the future technology and the rights and whatever. But they're going to cut into it as much as they can with the ticket sales.
But the way in a world,
I got a number.
A world where Ferrari can release 200 cars at $1 million a piece and they'll all be snapped up. You can charge $1 million for the seat. Didn't Lance Bass buy one?
Is that what that was?
I'm going to go way less and go. 250.
I'm just, this is me scanning so quickly an article I clicked on, and it just says, trips to the International Space Station have cost upwards of $35 million for space tourists, and SpaceX's moonshot is aiming much higher.
Number.
Okay, so they didn't disclose for SpaceX, but other companies that are doing this as well, Virgin Galactic is charging $250K a seat.
Whoo, right.
Brian, minus 5 points for you.
Wow, right on.
But they haven't disclosed the SpaceX price.
Interesting.
It's got to be competitive.
Just that he submitted a down payment.
And do we know how many seats there are?
On the BFR? If that stands for big fucking rocket.
It probably does.
Brian!
Does it?
How are you doing? Negative 10.
Is that what it stands for?
I'm literally
so stupid.
Just
that's
so clicked
dumb.
On this right now.
Well, because he does like ludicrous mold.
The boring.
And stuff like that.
Supposedly the Model S, the Model 3, the Model X, especially eventually spell out sexy.
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
That's what I've heard.
I'm looking at space.com. It says, yes, BFR stands for big fucking rocket.
100 seats.
Hmm?
100 seats.
100 seats.
What? That's way bigger than I thought.
Well, then you could start recouping some of that money. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
We must do something bad to a black person.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, last but not least, Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Simply Safe. We love these guys because they're awesome. That's what home security should be. Great protection. Ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees or pricey contracts. You get it at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Let's see. Live shows coming up. You go to adamcarolla.com if you want some live shows and check that out. You can go to Chassis and go to Pluto TV and watch the Chassis channel. I think it's 501 over there. I don't know what else the rest of the plugs are because Max Bad don't have them up on the screen, but that's fine.
Yeah. Phoenix, Stand Up Live, October 27th. Two basic cable commentary shows. Anaheim, The Grove of Anaheim, November 30th, live podcast with Rob Riggle.
And Mike August, who's unnervingly comfortable on stage. Like, I tell him, you should have the jitters or something, shouldn't you? And he's like, he doesn't have nerves or feelings about things. That guy walks out on stage like he belongs on
stage.
Like he's stealing a wheelbarrow. Love that guy. All right. So, till next time, Adam Kroll for RJ Bell and Joe Coy and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo. How can I get laid?
Follow the Adam Kroll Show on Twitter at Adam Kroll Show. Like Adam on Facebook and follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com and subscribe to Fantasy BS hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Corolla on Podcast One. Phoenix Stand Up Live, October 27th. Two basic cable commentary shows. And the World Championship of Guacamole coming your way, Guactober 13th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.